Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. My name is Lane Loman, the director of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That song reminds me of what I would hear when I was a child growing up in the old Pilgrim Holiness Church. They would talk about having a song in your heart. And what a blessing it is to know that Jesus can give us a song even in the storms of life. Well, I hope you enjoy the program today. I'm going to continue the sermon that I started 2 weeks ago that I preached on Palm Sunday at Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And it's called the Palm Sunday Revival. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I hope you'll enjoy the songs as well. It's hard to believe that we're now into the month of May. And it's a blessing to be able to bring the program to you. And my research tells me that we are the second longest running religious program on the air today. The only program longer on the air than us is the Lutheran Hour. And I hope you enjoy the program and the music as well as the message. Don't forget to pray for us as I am in revival services this weekend. I'm at the First General Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana. That's this weekend, May 16, 17, and 18. And then going to take a few days off over the Memorial Day weekend. And then June the 1st through the 4th, I will travel up near Mount Airy, North Carolina, actually to Cana, Virginia, to the Epworth Wesleyan Church. I'll be conducting revival services with my brother, Reverend Richard Lohman, and I'm looking forward to that. So pray for us. It would mean so much. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the folks who listen to the program and those who take the time to write a letter and keep us on this radio station. And I pray that you'd raise up new supporters for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance so we can continue doing what my dad felt the burden to do 87 years ago when he started this radio program in 1937. I pray that you would just bless today on the program. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, and all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Verse 24 of John 12. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Two words. Fall. Die. Is he referring to himself? Probably. Because he is going to die. But he's the model, you see. He's also referring to you and me. If we're going to know the reality of the kingdom of God in our lives, we're going to have to fall and die. Not physically, spiritually. We're going to have to come down off our pedestals of pride and yield ourselves to Him. Fall and die. The Greek language referring to this passage means that we're to descend, to come down. You see, the Jewish people, for the most part, they were farmers, and Jesus is talking their language. They know that a seed does not bring forth a harvest until it's planted and it dies. He's talking their language. It is a principle that Jesus is trying to teach to those who are now listening to Him there on what we call Palm Sunday. Hang on to yourself. Get all wrapped up in yourself. Do everything for yourself. What happens? You lose everything. He's talking about falling from the pedestal of your own ego into productive living for Him. We would do ourselves a favor this morning to listen to the words of Blaise Pascal. It is vain, O man, to seek within yourself the cure for your misery. Your principal maladies are pride that cuts you off from God, and sensuality that binds you to the earth. Oswald Chambers said it well. The first thing to do in examining the power that dominates me is to take hold of the unwelcome fact that I am responsible for being thus dominated because I have yielded. If I am a slave to myself, I am to blame for it, because at a point way back, I yielded myself to myself. Likewise, if I obey God, I do so because I have yielded myself to Him. Samuel Logan Bringle, a famous Methodist evangelist, felt impressed to travel 3,000 miles to the heart of London to make himself available to William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, to speak, to preach for that great organization. And when he arrived there, there was no red carpet. There was no great group to meet the great Bringle when he arrived. And so when he sat down in front of William Booth, Booth said to Bringle, he said, "Sit down, Bringle. We're skeptical of people like you. People like you don't make it in the Salvation Army." And Bringle replied, "But you have to use me, you have to take me, you have to let me do what I feel I've been led to come and do." Booth tried to talk Bringle out of staying, but with no success. And so Booth sent him to a tiny outpost. It was the lowest and most insignificant assignment that Bringle had ever had. The captain of that post for the Salvation Army said to Bringle, "The job that I have for you is in the cellar." He led Bringle into the cellar, screwed in a light bulb, and when their eyes adapted to the muted light, he showed Bringle a table with dirty rags and shoe polish, an 18 pair of dirty boots, and told him, "Polish them. You've got to be kidding. I'll hold a meeting for you. I can preach for you, but to shine boots, that's not why I came." And he proceeded to walk out of the room. And the Spirit of God got hold of Bringle and said, "Bringle, I washed dirty feet. I wore spit and a crown of thorns. Can't you shine a few boots for me?" Bringle came out of that cellar room with shoe polish under his fingernails and smudges of shoe polish on his face. But he came out of that cellar broken of himself, ready to be used of God. Fall and die. Look at the rest of the message. "He that loveth his life will lose it. Well, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Look at the three words: lose, hate, keep. Strange words. No one likes to lose. We like to win. No one likes the idea of hating somebody. We're told that we should not hate. We hate abortion. We hate drugs. We hate the terrorists that take innocent lives. We can justify that kind of hate. But what he's talking about here, he's saying that I'm to hate Lane Loman. That doesn't ring true with our culture. We're told that we ought to have self-esteem. We ought to like ourselves. Doesn't make sense. What's he after here? What's he trying to convey to that crowd on Palm Sunday? Here's what he's trying to tell them. What he wants us to get. You and I are to hate anything, everything, despise everything that you can do without Jesus. Christianity is only legitimate when it is done under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Just in case you didn't get it, then Jesus says this in his sermon. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Three words. Serve, follow, be. Let's shadow Jesus. See where he went. Throughout those 3.5 years of his public ministry, observe his life. Catalog his activities. What will you see? You will discover that his passion was to do the Father's will. He would not let anything or anyone distract him from that purpose in his life. And when I study Scripture, people who entered into a relationship with Christ laid their lives on the line for him. And there was a significant, noticeable change in their lives. I think, and I'm not here to be critical necessarily, but in my experience in the ministry, I think for too long, we have misunderstood what it means to serve Jesus. You see, it's not where I am, then he's obligated to come and bless me. It's not what I'm doing, Jesus should rubber stamp it. It's not that at all, not according to what Jesus said. But rather, where he is, I better show up. Where he is, I better allow myself to be included in what he's doing. I mean, it's proven in Scripture time and time again. Moses, the backside of a desert. Burning bush, you know the story perhaps. Voice from the burning bush says, Moses, take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy ground. And then God says to Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to put your finger right under the nose of Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, well, God, good thing you stopped by here on your way. I live down there, and says, and that Pharaoh is a hard nut to crack. I think you're wasting your time. I wouldn't bother with him. And God says, I didn't come here to ask you your opinion. I came here to tell you that I'm on my way down to Egypt. And I want you to go, and I want you to put your finger right under the nose of Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Because that's where I'm going to be. And if you want me in your life, you better show up. It's a New Testament principle. God came to the Apostle Paul one day and said, hey, Paul, I'm going to start a church in Philippi. Good idea, God. A lot of prospects in Philippi. It's a good cosmopolitan center. Tell you what I'll do. I'll work on that. And God says, well, I want you to go and I want you to witness to the Philippian jailer. Good idea. He has contacts in high places. Tell you what, I'll set up coffee with him and we'll talk about it. I'll start the church in his home and get this thing rolling. God says, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to meet him on his job. But God, he's a jailer. And the only way I can meet him on his job is if I'm in jail. Exactly right, Paul. But God, people people have their backs beat in jail. That's right, Paul. I'm looking for somebody who'll let me bleed through their back to reach somebody else. Because, Paul, if you want me in your life, that's where I'm going to be. Where he is, I better show up. Oh, and we could stay there a long time this morning, but we've got more to do in this service. He wants you to show up when his church is doing ministry. He wants you and me to show up on Sundays. He wants you and me to be involved in his kingdom work wherever he might be, wherever he might place us. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In conclusion, Jesus came not to proclaim an earthly kingdom that day in Jerusalem. He came to proclaim the kingdom of the interior, to where he comes and he takes his rightful place on the throne of your heart. The Apostle Paul put it like this, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. Just as he was willing to give up his life for every one of us, we must be willing to give up our lives for him. That's the message that he left with that Palm Sunday crowd when he arrived in Jerusalem, just hours before his death on a cross. God help us to hear the message. Being saved, the Greeks said, we would see Jesus. Being saved and seeing Jesus are not the same thing. Many are partakers of God's grace who have never seen Jesus. If you ever see him, really see him, you'll never be the same. When once you have seen Jesus, other things do not appeal as they used to. Always distinguish between who you see Jesus to be and what he has done for you. Always distinguish between who you see Jesus to be and what he has done for you. This week is the greatest week in mankind's history. He came in triumphantly. He rose from a grave triumphantly. But not before he died submissively for you and me.
What will you do for Jesus? He's done so much for you. He gave his life a ransom for sin. What will you do for
Lord, you said, greater love hath no man but that he lay down his life for a friend. Then you called me friend and laid down your life. I don't know if I understand love enough to die for a friend. But Lord, help me to love you enough to be willing to lay my life on the line for you. As I live, help me to take risks, reach out my hand, open up my heart for those in my life for love of you. Lord, help me give greater love.
will you do, for Jesus? He's done so much for you. He gave his life a ransom for sin. What will you do for him? For him.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.